I tell you, this is a point in our life where we're seeing history, and many, and even myself, in our youth, haven't seen some of the things that we've seen this past week. And I am at this point, in my heart and mind, have really been seeking the Lord and seeking His Word. And this morning, I want to share a few things. Also want us to pray for our nation. Many of you came Wednesday night as we had that special prayer time. And this morning, I want to do the same thing and give us a chance to pray. But before we do, I just want to share a few things with you. I was handed an email yesterday, and it was an email that was contained an article that was written by a commentator in the Canadian newspaper. And I just thought it would be something that we could share and just to think for just a moment the greatness of America. You notice all around the room you'll find flags. And, of course, as you drive up and down the roads in your neighborhoods and communities, you see flags all over the place. You know, and it's sad that tragedy has to hit to remind us the greatness of the country that we're in. But we are in the greatest country in the world. And one of the greatness of the country that we're in is the fact that we have the freedom to worship. Now, we know in the future, according to the book of Revelation, that freedom will change. But we know in these days that the country that we are a part of in its history has always called upon God. It's sad to say that leading up to this tragedy that America had been doing a downward spiral course away from God. And I just pray that during this tragedy and all that's occurred that America will be turned back to Him. I had an opportunity Friday evening to be interviewed on the radio and to talk about all of this. And some of the things that we were talking about on there was, you know, where's the ACLU in all of this? Because it's been the ACLU that has fought to take religion, to take all forms of mentioning the name of God out of public places. And of course, even though they may pull things like that out of public places, you can't pull it out of hearts of people that truly know Him. And we're going to proclaim His name no matter what. Amen? But I want you to think about the greatness of our country and think about it from, just for a moment, from the perspective of this commentator writing as a Canadian citizen and looking at America and its greatness and all the things that America has done. And just think with me for just a moment. When I read this yesterday, I was thinking that there was so much truth to this because we constantly come to the aid of other countries in their tragedies. And just listen to what he writes. He says, "This Canadian thinks it's time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people on all the earth. Germany, Japan, and to a lesser extent Britain and Italy were lifted out of the debris of war by the Americans who poured in billions of dollars and forgave others billions in debts. None of these countries is today paying even the interest on its remaining debts to the United States. When France was in danger of collapsing in 1956, it was the Americans who propped it up. And their reward was to be insulted and swindled on the streets of Paris." He says, "I was there. I saw it. When earthquakes hit distant cities, it is the United States that hurries into its help. This spring, 59 American communities were flattened by tornadoes. Nobody helped. The Marshall and the Truman policy pumped in billions of dollars into discouraged countries. Now newspapers in those countries are writing about the decadent, the warmongering Americans. I'd like to see just one of those countries that is gloating over the erosion of the United States dollar, the dollar that built its own airplane. Does any other country in the world have a plane to equal the Boeing Jumbo Jet, the Lockheed TriStar, or the Douglas DC-10? If so, why don't they fly them? Why do all the international lines except Russia fly American planes? Why does no other land on earth even consider putting a man or a woman on the moon? You talk about Japanese technocracy and you get radios. You talk about German technocracy and you get automobiles. You talk about American technocracy and you find men on the moon not once but several times and safely home again. You talk about scandals and the Americans put their right in the store window for everyone to look at. Even their draft dodgers are not pursued and hounded. They are here on our streets, and most of them, unless they are breaking Canadian laws, are getting American dollars from Ma and Pa at home to spend here. When the railways of France, Germany, and India were breaking down through age, it was the Americans who rebuilt them. When the Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central went broke, nobody loaned them an old caboose. Both are still broke. I can name you 5,000 times when the Americans raced to the help of other people in trouble. Can you name me even one time when someone else raced to the Americans in trouble? I don't think that there was outside help even during the San Francisco earthquake. Our neighbors have faced it alone, and I'm one Canadian who is tired of hearing them get kicked around. They will come out of this thing with their flag high. And when they do, they are entitled to thumb their nose at the lands that are gloating over their present troubles. I hope Canada is not one of those. Stand proud, America. And if there is light in the soul, there will be beauty in the person. I thought that was pretty appropriate, because it is in tragedy that America does stand high. We live in a country that we can be proud of. And if I could urge you and encourage you in any way, and in light of all these recent events, is to pray. And pray specifically. Pray that this would be a wake-up call for America. That America would turn back to its roots from which it built its foundation on. That America would turn back to God. And that through all of this, as people pray, that people would get saved. I told you Wednesday night I was thinking about all the many people that lost their life that didn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's tragedy. That's the real tragedy. And you know, folks, you and I, we wake up, we don't think about what's going to happen in our day. We feel confident and assured that we're going to arrive back home, or we feel confident and assured that we're going to have a tomorrow. And folks, as James tells us, that life is a vapor. We don't know that. We're not promised tomorrow. And we have to live today to its fullness. I want to read to you from Psalm 145 that gives us a perspective in all of this. The psalmist says, "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise your name, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever." That's the issue. And I would pray that all of us would be willing even to look in our own hearts. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the next few moments. And as I said Wednesday night, many of us will head toward home, and some of us might not even make it. We don't have that assurity. The issue is where we are. Where are we at in our relationship with Jesus Christ? I want to take just a moment and give you a chance, if you'd like to come forward and get on your knees and pray with me as we seek to intercede on behalf of our nation. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So if you want to come right now, you come as we prepare to pray. Heavenly Father, you tell us what makes a people great, what makes a nation great, is whether they're willing to humble themselves before you and acknowledge you as God and King. And Lord, even though this world that we live in is governed by the God of this world, Satan, at the same time, you are the God of God and the King of Kings. And Lord, all that has happened in this world has happened by your sovereign hand. Nothing was a surprise to you. In fact, nothing escapes your mind or your attention. The Bible tells us that you also send calamity. And we know in your sovereignty that that includes both good and bad. And you even tell us in Romans 8:28 for the believer that you cause all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And Father, we come right now interceding on behalf of these many loved ones, Father, that are grieving right now. Some have already gotten word about their family members, their friends that have lost their life in this terrible tragedy. And Father, we pray for your comfort on them. And Lord, many of them are still waiting to find out what has taken place and if their loved ones have survived or if they're in one of the many hospitals or where they are. And Lord, I pray that through all of this, yes, that America will shine as a great country. But I pray most importantly for our country, Father, that America will turn back to you and begin to acknowledge your sovereignty, that you are the sovereign Lord over all people, all nations. And Lord, I pray for the president right now. And I pray for all of the elected leaders right now. They need wisdom. They need wisdom from you. They don't need human wisdom. Human wisdom gets us where we are. But we need supernatural wisdom. And I know that that's going to come only when this nation humbles itself before you. And I pray for us as a church, Father, that we would humble ourselves before you and that we would take what has occurred also as a wake-up call for us, because we have been complacent and we've been callous and we've been dead in our works for you, Father. But that this would wake us up and to show us just how brief life really is and how serious that we need to be with the life that you have given to us, and that there are people around us in our neighborhoods and our families, Father, in this world that don't know you and that are perishing every day and going to a place of torment. Father, you've given us a life-changing message. That's the only thing that's going to turn America around. That's the only thing that's going to turn any person around. Is, Father, that they would acknowledge the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ who came and died in their place for their sin. And I pray, Father, we as a people here, that we will look in our own hearts and examine ourselves and to see whether we be in the faith. And instead of just saying and professing your name, that we truly live the name of Christ. You tell us in your word, the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ to depart from iniquity. And God, we have done so much iniquity in our land and so much in our own hearts. And we pray for your forgiveness. And we pray for it even right here in our own hearts and our own backyards and right here where we're living. The many times you've prompted our hearts to talk to people about Christ and for whatever reason we've said no. Or the many times you've given us to love one another and we've harbored some type of bitterness in our heart against someone and we've said no. Lord, I know that there are many people that experienced this tragedy that did not expect what has happened. The same as all of us and the tragedies that come in our life. We don't expect this. And we hope for the best and the good. But we also must be reminded we live in a fallen world, a sinful world. And it's only a sinful world because it's inhabited by sinful people. So, Lord, we come right now. We pray, Lord, for the rescue workers as they seek to find people still alive. And we pray that there are. We pray that you would strengthen them, help them, give them the courage. And Lord, I pray too, as many of us are angered over what has happened, and we should be angry over sin and its devastating consequences. But are we willing to be angry about it in our own life? Are we willing to take that same attitude? And God, as the leaders here in America are saying, God bless America, Lord, I pray that they will return back to you and that you would truly bless this nation. And Father, in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our rebellion, you have blessed us. And really, if we can look at the tragedies of this past week, we could see your mercy and your grace. And even as we look in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, He didn't wipe them out off the face of the earth. He gave them mercy. Yes, they eventually died physically. They died spiritually immediately. At the same time, we see your mercy. And we see your grace. And so, Lord, I pray if there's anyone in this place today that has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Father, pray that they won't walk out of this place, Father, in that same condition. I pray that they would understand, Father, that they're not promised tomorrow. And the Bible tells us that today's the day of salvation and that today they would receive you as Lord and Savior. Today that they would respond to the call of the gospel and be forgiven of their sin. Lord, I pray, heal our land. Cause America to come to its knees in humility and call upon you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.